Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're now on Red Circle, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, and the Five Reasons YouTube channel. We're going to talk about that a little bit today because that's where you can find all the guys that are going to be joining me. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. Also, FiveReasonsSports.com, spell that one out. We have new writers on there covering the Heat, so check that out, in addition to Mateo Mayorga and Brady Hawk. We do not have a paywall. And check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Super Bowl's coming up. The props are up there. Go to Prize Picks. Use that code 5, F-I-V-E. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. That's right. You can play 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players together. Download it from prizepicks.com on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. This was just rated the number one fastest growing sports product in the country. So go to prizepicks.com. Use the code F-I-V-E. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. And now, tonight's very different episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's about to have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. I got Greg Sylvander. No, I don't. I've got Alex Toledo. No, I don't. I've got Brady Hawk. No, I don't. Actually, this was planned today. I gave everybody the night off. Greg will be back here. We've got a week coming up to the transaction. Well, this is transaction season. We've got a week coming up to the trade deadline. So Greg will be back in full force when he's back from a business trip. Gave again Alex and Brady the night off tonight. So we're bringing in three others from the Five Reasons Sports Network. You can find their work all over the network. If you watch the pregame show, you see Jonathan Ramakan. You can follow him at Three Piece Combo. He's the host of the pregame show Before Floor. Comes on typically an hour before every game. I got Timothy Bain. You can follow him at, I'm not going to go through all the A's, but you know Timmy if you've watched him on the pregame show. And we got Brian Fonseca, who's kind of a man of all trades here on the network for fight stuff, for basketball stuff, and of course, he does appear on Five on the Floor. So I haven't really given them the topics before. Part of that is because they know I don't prepare, so I don't want to change anything here. But I wanted to get some different perspectives tonight because, you know, me, Brady, Alex, and who's that other guy? Greg. Sometimes, you know, we sort of start to say the same thing. So I'm going to bring up some topics. I'm going to let them go. We're going to go around the horn here a little bit. I'm going to let Brian go first on this one, because you can follow him at Brian Fonseca, NY. So that's where he lives, the NY. And he has a particular take on this. It came out, and I don't even know where this is from, but NBA Central tweeted out that Heat fans are the most negative fans. Brian, why does this bother you?
I don't understand it, as somebody who's from a city where we have a couple of the most overrated franchises in sports. One being the Knicks, who play the same sport. And I look at Heat fans and, you know, interacting with them more over the last couple of years. And I'm like, what the fuck are y'all complaining about? Like, you just had, first of all, you got three championships and there are a lot of other organizations.
Wait, I'm going to stop you because we're not editing any of this, but I'm just preparing people when Brian speaks. Language is going to be a little different from Brady's. Go ahead. Continue.
We have, like, this team has three championships. The Knicks have two, and they've been around. Like, this is, if you're an immigrant who came to New York City at a certain time, this is your team, right? A lot of my family members, a lot of friends, et cetera. This is their squad since they've gotten here, since long before that. They've been in the NBA for however long, and they've gotten two titles, and both of them were in the 70s. My dad was a child the last time they won a championship, and I've seen all three Heat titles. And it like, I look at that I look at the fact that they've been to a bunch of championships, that they're competitive year in and year out. You can count the seasons that they've been bad, legitimately bad, on one hand over the last 20 or so years. And on top of that, they have maybe the best coach in the league, maybe the best front office in the league. You could ask other NBA organizations will cop to this, will say this. This is not just like Heat, bluster, whatever the case may be, or something you hear this favorite, this, you know, some level of favoritism on Five on the Floor. Like, no, that's not what this is. This is other NBA teams would say that. The Heat are up there in both coaching and in front office. You have Jimmy Butler, one of the best playoff performers of his era. You have Bam Adebayo, one of the best young stars in the league. You have Tyler Hero, one of the best young scorers in the league at 25 and under. And every game, especially when they lose, it's just nitpicky complaints. It's people who are really invested into the team where it affects their entire mood. And usually for the worse, because they try to look at all the negative things about them. It's like where Sean Rochester and Greg Sylvander joke, the losses count more than the wins for the fan base. And it's just a lot of shit that just doesn't make any rational sense. And me as an outsider looking at this, it's like, I don't understand why y'all are complaining. Because again, you look at all the imperfections on this roster that we've complained about all season long, and they still find themselves in a conversation to maybe at the end of the year, they're getting a top four seed in the East, and it's totally realistic. And that's even without like a significant upgrade, because they're just trending in the right direction. Zach Lowe was on ESPN talking about they have the third best offense with Bam and Jimmy on the floor as of late in terms of offensive rating in the entire league. And they're a team that's sort of creeping up in the standings. And it's like, I don't understand the movement to sort of rebuild the structure and get Pat Riley out of here, saying he's what, like, none of that shit makes any sense.
Jonathan, from the other perspective here, because you are tend to be Mr. Positivity on the Heat, particularly on the pregame show. And I know you engage a little bit with others, but maybe not as much as some of us get into it. Is what Brian is saying fair? Are Heat fans, I mean, essentially he's saying Heat fans are spoiled, which is, he's not the first one to say that, because literally Pat Riley said that a few years ago, that he said they were spoiled. He said that they're, you know, the big three Heat era fans, you kind of know the difference, right? Because those fans, the ones who didn't go through really any struggle at all, and not that most Heat fans have gone through struggle, because that last quarter century has been pretty damn good with a couple of valleys. But the expectations are unrealistic. Where do you come down on it?
So, I mean, I agree with a lot of the things that Brian said, you know, as far as this is a team that has, as far as expectations and compared to other franchises, done a lot of great things. Like, you know, I moved to Florida in 05 when I was 9 years old, and I was able to watch the Heat succeed almost immediately when I started watching basketball. And, you know, from there, seeing, like you said, three championships happen, us going to the finals five or six times, like, we have been spoiled as Heat fans. But also to that, we're also, I feel, more knowledgeable than other fan bases, because we know what it takes to win. And when we know what it takes to win and we see things or formulas that aren't working, I think that we have the right to be vocal about it, right? I don't think that we should be celebrating losses more than wins. And I don't think anybody's really doing that. I think it's more so the fact that we, you know, regardless of the wins or the losses, we need to take an objective look at the team and see if the formula that we have now matches up with the formula that won us championships in the past. Because if we know what worked before or what got us close before, we need to be doing those similar things. And, you know, other teams have models of how to build championship teams as well. And, you know, some of them are flash in the pans and just happen one time, like the Raptors. But there's other teams that build consistent contenders, and those are the teams that you want to almost structure yourselves like. So as far as the negativity goes, I do think some of it is warranted, just because I feel like Heat fans are, one, more vocal than a lot of other fans, but two, understand more so what it takes to win. So that's why I think just vocalizing what changes they want to be made, I think there's, you know, I think there's a little bit of real a point to it.
All right, Timmy, you're down in the Bahamas. I was with you in training camp when things, we were very optimistic. Eric Spoelstra was talking about it was great that everybody wanted bigger roles. He was telling me that he really liked the look of this team, that he had so many guys who could do different things. And the season hasn't really turned out, I think, the way that they projected. Although, as Brian made the point, it's not like it's off course completely. Like, it's not unsalvageable at this point, particularly if they make a move. Obviously, I know you followed things pretty closely during the Big Three era. Do you think Heat fans are spoiled?
100%. Like, I had to have this conversation the other day. Majority of these fans, quote-unquote fans on Twitter, started watching basketball in 2009. So they watched Kobe's, you know, last two rings. They watched LeBron, which is peak LeBron, you know, 25, 26 LeBron, and they were used to the Heat just going to the finals 4 years in a row. So I was there when Wade was drafted, and there was still Caron Butler and Odom and the Grants. And, like, yes, they are spoiled. And Brian brought up a good point. His father was a child when the Knicks won a ring. You know, the second most unsufferable fan base based on that poll. You know, they have a reason to be upset. I can understand the Knicks being upset. You know, their last finals run was the lockout. Not our lockout, 1999, before the Y2K. You know, they could be miserable. The Heat have had maybe, I think, two horrible seasons since I've been watching basketball full-time, which has been since 2000. You know, I can count on my one hand. And there's always these arguments, I'd rather tank for picks and should have used the playoffs. Where is your guts? Like, cowards, why do you want to lose on purpose? I just think it's fun. Yes, I mean, you would like to have continued success, but look at the Spurs. The Spurs were the, I guess, pinnacle of success, the four rings. I think it was like 15 straight 50-win seasons. And I honestly don't know the next time the Spurs will even make the playoffs again. Even with this Heat team, I said it before in pregame and post, I did not think the Heat would have made it to January, but it's not just the Heat. This has been a weird season overall. The Thunder are basically a 500 team. I'm pretty sure SGA is going to be named as a reserved. The Kings are third. Mike Brown is probably going to win Coach of the Year. Like, this is a weird season overall. And despite all of these things, and like you said, Ethan, two players who talked about the most down here in the Bahamas, Depot and Yurt, both who basically started camp with injuries. Yurt will be back soon. Depot is out slightly. He's played 16 straight games, and we've seen the team turn around and play him, but he has an ankle injury. But no, the Heat season didn't start how it was supposed to. And yes, we didn't get Spider. We didn't get Durant. We didn't get these players. And yes, we were shooting astronomically bad from three. And despite all of this, despite all of these horrendous things happening to this team in regards to regression, they are 1.5 games away from home court.
Right. No, it's a good point. And I think as we look at it, that's kind of what I said yesterday, is 29 and 23. They're tracking exactly with the 2015-16 team that lost Chris Bosh. They're actually tracking better than that team was before, that lost Chris Bosh at the All-Star game in Toronto. And that team ended up getting to the second round with one addition, Joe Johnson, Luol Deng moving to the four, to the second round, seventh game against Toronto, and they lost because Justice Winslow had to play the five. I mean, they were that close to playing Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think if Heat fans could just look at it and say, okay, look at the Eastern Conference now. Is Boston that good? They're good. Yeah, they're absolutely good. Are they perfect? No. Is Milwaukee flawed now? I think they are a little bit. Philadelphia, do you trust them in the playoffs? I don't. Brooklyn, what are they going to look like when Durant comes back and they keep that thing together? Cleveland, we just saw them, okay? We saw them at home, fully healthy, against the Heat, and the Heat went in there and won, okay? So, again, this is a flawed team. The shooting has been awful. The power forward situation never should have been what it was. Not Caleb's fault, but he shouldn't have been put in that position. Players like Max and Caleb had some regression as a result of being put in positions they shouldn't be. But, again, with all of that, they still have a better record than the Warriors, the Clippers, the Suns, and a lot of teams that were supposed to be better than them this season. So, I'm holding off.
I need you to repeat that. They have a better record than the defending champion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they've had injuries, and obviously Steph is a huge part of that. But actually, the core of their roster, with the exception of that, has been healthier than the core of the Heat's roster this year. So, for sure. All right, we're going to get to another comment. We're going to spin around here a little bit. I do want to introduce one new segment here on the show. Our personal injury attorney that sponsors the network, Eric Rubenstein. Reach out to him. Again, it's ericrubenstein.com. He's from St. Thomas University down here. Magna cum laude, really, really smart. Also a huge Heat fan. You can find him at ericrubenstein.com, 954-829-ERIC. That's ericrubenstein.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, maybe check the stats of the latest Miami Heat game? I've got a better idea. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I've benefited from therapy. I went through some life changes, major life events, had some difficulties, wasn't a believer in therapy, but it helped me and it can help you also. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/MiamiHeat today to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MiamiHeat.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And here's the thing. He's sponsoring our injury report here, so let's give it to you. Victor Oladipo is doubtful for the game against the Knicks. Orlando Robinson is out. He's going to be out for about a month, which, again, they're going to have to figure out now what to do with that two-way contract, but it seems unlikely that he would be able to hold it during that period of time. They solved the backup center situation. It seemed that way, at least. Yurt is not back, so you probably are going to see Dwayne Dedmon playing again here. And Gabe Vincent is also questionable for the next game. So the Heat may go into the next game a little bit shorthanded. And again, they need to find another solution for a big. And this puts a little bit more of a premium again on getting a big at the trade deadline, with Robinson now is two-way in doubt. And you're looking, again, trade deadline in a week at this point. Do you bring in a reinforcement at that stage? Reach out to ericrubenstein.com at 954-829-ERIC. We'll give you the injury reports as updated as we can give them prior to the next game. All right, here's a question for you guys, and just your perceptions of this. We'll swing around. Actually, let's start with Jonathan this time. Bam Adebayo right now is third in defensive player of the year odds at most of the sports books. He's behind Jaren Jackson Jr., who there was just a very long Reddit post about, and he's behind Nick Claxton. Jonathan, thoughts on this?
It almost is comical how the national media views things, because you'd almost view the national media as like a casual fan, because in no way, shape, or form is Nick Claxton or Triple J better defenders than Bam Adebayo. Like, there is not one world or one planet where you'd rather have one of those players over Bam Adebayo as your best defender. And I think it's a problem where just commonly they're looking at statistics, who's getting the most blocks, who's doing this, and they're not looking at true defense and what's going on the court. And I'm not sure if it's a problem that the media that votes don't watch these games, or if they just, you know, look at the box score. I'm not sure what the problem is, but there is an issue with the voting where it's just, like I said, box score watching, and you're not actually looking at what's on the court, because Bam has easily, by far and ahead, not just this year but for the last couple years, been the best defender in the league.
Brian, you're in New York. You see Claxton all the time. Is he better than Bam?
No. And Net fans have had a hard on for him forever. I remember back when his rookie year, Spencer Dinwiddie said, basically outside of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, he's the most talented Net on that team. Maybe there was something to that at the time. I think the thing with Bam is that people are just going to look at this because, to Jonathan's point, voters aren't watching every game. And casual voters who don't watch a lot of Heat games are going to look at Bam and see that, wait, he's a center that doesn't average a block per game. How is he going to be the defensive player of the year? Even still, even though we've allegedly gotten smarter, because people will say, oh, basketball content is the smartest it's ever been. I don't know if that's been the case, because, like, there's still a lot of people who don't know what they're watching. You can go on Twitter, you could look at the threads, and some of them are very well done. Steve Jones Jr., et cetera. And you could look at all the things that they do to highlight how great Bam is defensively. And it doesn't matter because the people who are watching these videos clearly aren't voters. So I'm not sure if he's going to win it. I think he should. I think last year and the year before, he was the best defensive player in the NBA. And I thought he could have gotten Defensive Player of the Year one or both times. I think it was bullshit last year that he didn't win the award because people like Ryan Russillo, for example, who I like and listen to his podcast, but was saying games played was an issue. When Rudy Gobert won Defensive Player of the Year for about the same amount of games played, 56, 57, a few years prior, on a team that wasn't a one seed, but was like a 4 or 5 seed and lost in the first round, surprise, surprise, Utah Jazz. And he got Defensive Player of the Year. That was the first time he won it. Then he won it a couple other times, and we don't need to get into that. But Bam Adebayo is pound for pound the best defensive player in the NBA and has been for at least 2 seasons, in my opinion, perhaps even 3, guarding 1 through 5, doing all the things he's doing. He's been so good that you see it as soon as Dwayne Dedman steps on the floor and how everything just falls off a cliff. In fact, I think Bam is asked to do too much, and that's why I think they should make a trade, get a 4, whatever the case may be, because I'm tired of watching him go out onto the perimeter and then seeing Caleb Martin, no disrespect, and it's not a knock on him, but Caleb Martin, who's been out of position all year and playing his ass off, but is also playing hurt at this point, guarding somebody like Thomas Bryant and getting out-rebounded. This is why I think they need to size up. But nevertheless, Bam, to me, is the defensive player of the year so far. And at the pace he's going, I think he'll continue to do that. But will he actually get the award? I don't know. They'll look at Nick Claxton's blocks. They'll look at Jaren Jackson Jr.'s blocks. And who knows who else?
Timmy?
So, as you guys know, I play a lot of fantasy basketball. And Nick Claxton is leading my league in blocks. But the defensive player there is not a block stat. You know, Bam can defend Curry and Clay and Draymond in one possession. It's still a play from last season where Bam defended the point guard on a pick and roll, and the point guard lobbed the ball, and Bam was able to recover and block the lob. Like, that's still mind-boggling to me that he did that last year, and a year where he probably lost some of his wins because he was out, like, what, 6 weeks with that thumb? Mm-hmm. Bam is looking amazing. And shout out to the guys. I saw where he said that, you know, with Bam's offense this year, his defense has slipped a bit. I don't see it. You know, I don't get too deep to the warp and all those type of things, but I don't see where Bam's defense has slipped. I mean, but I do think he is doing too much. But it's halfway, like, me and Brian have been calling him Bam Garnett for years, and he's finally doing it. And he's not hitting the mid-range shot. I thought he would. He's hitting the very difficult mid-range shot, the one on the dotted line, like, at the wing. And he's leading the league in that shot. Like, I'm happy that something has woken up in Bam with his confidence. I'm happy that he got to get these reps without Jimmy, with Jimmy. And I just think that, you know, Bam is definitely the defensive player of the year. And then maybe at the bottom is Draymond, but not, you know, Triple J or Claxton.
I think that the Nets are calling Timmy on the other line and trying to change his vote here. But let's get to one. We're going to do this one quickly, and then I got one to end the podcast. So keep this one a little bit quicker. Give me an answer and a paragraph on this. Who's the best player on this team right now, Jonathan?
I'm going to go with Jimmy Butler. When it comes down to the playoff time, like, I mean, I'm assuming that's when you are talking about, still has to go with Jimmy Butler. You know, defensively, menace in the league, right? Obviously in the regular season, he's not going to give you 100% on the offensive side, but we know what he's going to give you when it comes playoff time. So I think Jimmy Butler is still the best player on the team, number one offensively and number two defensively.
Brian?
We know that Jimmy plays differently in the regular season than in the playoffs. I've seen Bam be the best player in an Eastern Conference Finals, but outside of that, it's been Jimmy Butler at basically every term. So I'm still going to say Jimmy Butler until Bam does it over the course of a playoff run, not just a playoff game or a playoff series. So to me, it's still Jimmy Butler, even though right now it may have been Bam as of late.
Timmy?
Jimmy is no longer head and shoulders above Bam. He is still that guy. He's still the max player. He's his number one. But I think it's now more of a dynamic duo. It's more Batman and Nightwing than Batman and Robin. I think Robin has grown up. I think this is two men on the same equal footing as, and I heard Spo things that tomorrow night, well, tonight when you guys hear it, you get 2 All-Stars. I do think, despite everything that happened this season, if when they announce both Bob and Jimmy are All-Stars, I think that's an accomplishment. We just have to pause and like shout out to, because despite all of the trash that they've been playing with, and I'm not calling the players trash, just like this whole season has feel like very yucky, you know. Despite all that, for those who didn't make the All-Star team, I think that's more of Bam's good. Like, we know Jimmy is him. You know, I've been calling Jimmy top 10. Me and Brian have been debating Jimmy's better than PG like for years now, you know, like all the and Kyrie and all these type of guys. So Jimmy is for sure a top 10 two-way player, maybe a top 3 two-way player. But Bam is no longer the little pup being brought along, like being groomed to take over. Like Bam is him. I fully expect the next year, if we get a more capable point guard, that Bam, this will be Bam's team.
Interesting you mentioned the point guard, because that's going to be the next topic here after the break. By the way, I don't think Jimmy's going to be an All-Star. I don't. I did a podcast with Brady for the Step Back podcast, which you do for Fanside. We went through our 12. I don't think Jimmy's getting in. I know he doesn't want to go, but I think Bam gets a spot. He absolutely should get a spot. It's a crime if he doesn't. I don't think Jimmy's getting a spot this year. I think the games played is going to be used against him, and I don't see it. We got up to 14 before of guys who I think are more likely overall, including of course the five starters, before we got to Jimmy. So we'll see how that plays out. It's obviously a conversation that we'll have going forward. I do want to mention one more sponsor, and then we got one more question for these guys, and this one might be the most difficult one. You can hear all these guys, as I said, on the YouTube channel, Jonathan Ramlakan, Timothy Bain, and Brian Fonseca. You can follow up Brian Fonseca in New York. If you have a water leak, you don't know where it's coming from, you're dealing with water or mold damage in your home or business, call Water Cleanup of Florida, 954-579-0356. Let me give it to you again, 954-579-0356. Michael, Robert, and the team prepared to handle all types of leak detection issues 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, fully licensed, insured, and certified to provide the one-stop shopping the busy homeowners and business owners require. No need to bring in other contractors. Reach out to Water Cleanup of Florida, 954-579-0356. That's Michael's personal cell, or WCUFL.com, WCUFL.com. I'm going to let these guys do it, see who jumps in. If you got the schmutz.
They got the
guts.
We
got the guts.
Oh, my God. Two of you actually listen to this podcast. Where the hell is Ramlakan on that? All right. Thank you, Brian and Timmy. We appreciate that. All right. Let's get to this. Who should go first? Timmy, what do you do about Kyle Lowry?
I've been torn. I'm ready to trade him. He has a good game. But I want to keep him as a bad game. It's really maddening. Like I said this literally 2 years ago. Hero needs to either play with a 3-and-D point guard who could keep the ball in Hero's hands, or someone who could take the ball. Hero needs to have his hand, like this middling is too much. Hero needs the ball either in his hands completely or completely out, because it's like he's trying to find his way in. Either he shoots not enough or not at all. Hero, I don't know, at this point, you know, I'm happy that Larry also feels like maybe it's time to go. I'm actually open to a homecoming for Larry and bring me OG. My only fear with Laurie is, despite his like takeaway money, I'm not sure I'm ready for Gabe to be the full-time starter on this team. So if you take away Gabe and you trade Laurie, then who realistically out there that's like, I don't see a point guard coming back as necessarily a better fit than Laurie. Like maybe Conley gets you one less year. D'Lo is not it. I'm not even gonna let Brian stand on D'Lo, the man that's not like D'Angelo Russell.
Let's calm down. All right. I went on a podcast today that said D'Angelo Russell is the worst player in the NBA that plays big minutes. I didn't say that. Somebody else did.
Well, he has been called the worst starting point guard in the NBA multiple times by various different podcasts. So I don't know why he fans think he'd be such a great addition to this.
Because team. He's not the guy they have. But also the guy they have in January averaged, because January is over now. I'll go to Jonathan now, and then I'll let Brian clean this up. Kyle Lowry averaged 7-3-3.
Oh my goodness.
In January.
Yeah. So before I preface, you
know, 7-3-4. I might be wrong on the assist part, but it's 7-3-3 or 7-4-3-4 at 37% from the field. And less than 30% from three. Go ahead.
Yeah. So before I say anything, I do want to preface this by saying I do have a negative bias towards Kyle Lowry, because as his Raptors days, when he hit that half court shot, he robbed us in that Dwayne and Bosch versus LeBron potential Eastern Conference Finals. Yes. So I've always personally had a grudge against Kyle Lowry. And the minute we signed him, I was like, we need to flip him for Dame Lillard as soon as possible. But that's just me being a fan, of course. That's not me being realistic. But as far as what we need to do for it with him now, I think you just need to salvage the value as much as you possibly can. You know, if you can get a trade for him, great. I think with him, you know, going on to by the end of the season, he's going to be an expiring contract. I think that will make it a little bit easier to move. But I don't think, you know, if you're looking ahead to next season, he's the guy you want to be as your starting point guard, you know, making that much amount of money. So if you can, you know, either trade deadline or going into, you know, the offseason into next year, I think you do want to try to look for a change at the point guard. Because even if you're looking at maybe Gabe Vincent or someone else taking that spot, you're going to know you're going to have some more money to allocate to another spot like a four or a backup five, right? So you're not going to be spending all this money on an empty asset like Kyle. So I do think that we should unload him for the best value possible when the time is right.
Well, the issue with unloading him now is you don't have the asset for the summer, but I'm with you. And I think that's a conversation we'll continue to have here leading up to the deadline. What makes more sense? I think it's pretty clear he's not going to be the starting point guard next year. I don't see how he could be putting up these kind of numbers. And honestly, Brian, he's already been phased out. I mean, he's not playing in the fourth quarter most of the time. He's not playing the big minutes. Those minutes are going to Oladipo. Sometimes they're going to Vincent. He's not, I mean, not only is he not one of the top four closers, he doesn't seem to be one of the top six closers at this point. That's how Spoelstra tells you how he feels, typically. It's about the closing. It's not about the starting. So what do you do?
So to me, you have to explore other options. I don't think the worst thing in the world is having him be on the trade deadline. Like, I don't think, like, Dwayne Dedman needs to be off the roster by the trade deadline. And I think as is Duncan Robinson at this point, a little bit less so. Dwayne Dedman is the one that absolutely, like, you have to do something with his contract. Kyle Lowry, I think you can move him potentially in the summer. But if there's a deal, and if Kawhi Leonard really wants a point guard, you're trying to do something with the Clippers. Because then you're talking about the possibilities of, what if you can move the Duncan Robinson, Dwayne Dedman, and whatever pick combination package, if you have to throw in a Max Strus or hopefully not, but Nikola Jovic, like, you know, what if you can move that package and then Kyle Lowry and something else elsewhere? Then you talk about
maybe,
right? Then you talk about the players that could be coming onto the team, more potential closers, more guys that are exposed to would trust to close. Then I think that is tantalizing enough for you to want to explore Kyle Lowry, because I'm not sure at this point what he's really adding to the team. He's not really on the ball as much anymore. He's not adding much defensively. He's not shooting the ball well. He's not really getting guys into spots like he was at some points last year. Is he really adding a leadership quality? Like, I'm not entirely sure. And when I look at the Clippers roster, and by the way, I think in all trades, I don't think you get expiring contracts back. So no to D'Angelo Russell. I don't think, because I don't think this team is, it should be trading for expiring contracts. You have to think about next season as well, because I think you might be a little far away this year unless you make significant upgrades. But that being said, I'm looking at this Clippers roster. You could do Kyle Lowry for like a Marcus Morris and perhaps a Luke Kennard or a Robert Covington. Like, there's something you could do there that theoretically can help a little bit more than what Kyle's giving you right now. So I would explore it. I wouldn't say trade Kyle or bust, but I would at the very least explore it and explore it considerably.
All right. Thanks to Jonathan. Thanks to Brian. Thanks to Timothy. Again, find them on Before Floor. Find Brian all over the channel and also here on the podcast. We'll have Hangover Time is on the channel tomorrow. I actually, as we're speaking here, just got news that Timothy Meeks, who does some work for Miami Heat Beat and also here at Five Reasons Sports, is actually going to be covering Heat Knicks for us at in the arena tomorrow. So that's good news. So you have coverage from Tiffany. We'll obviously have the pregame show here, as we usually do with Jonathan, Timothy, and the crew, and you'll hear from Brian again, whether you like it or not. All right. Thanks to our sponsors, Water Cleanup of Florida, ericrubenstein.com, Prize Picks, and use that code. Make sure you use it, FIVE. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.